You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we might go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll... Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, brother, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Okay, number 5, verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." But going back to, it says in 3, it says, "According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through," this is how it's done, "through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." These precious promises are given to us through the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. If we go on to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 15, it says, "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." It's interesting, but God has called us into a fellowship of knowledge through the Holy Spirit. The Lord has called us into a fellowship where, and if you go to Ephesians, it actually speaks about this fellowship. It talks about the mysteries of the fellowship. And it says, we'll go over to Ephesians and we'll have a quick look at it. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." The fellowship of the mystery. You know, Paul wrote these things that people couldn't understand in many epistles. And even Peter said, "I don't understand what this guy half the time is saying. I mean, it's just so deep. I just don't get it." But he did fellowship with Paul in the mysteries. It's just that Paul knew a lot more about the mysteries than perhaps Peter did. They come from two different backgrounds. Peter was a fisherman. He was an uneducated person. Paul knew the law. He knew he was a Pharisee. And he was taught by one of the Pharisees of Pharisees, Gamaliel, who was a big learned Pharisee. And he sat under the tutoring of the best. Now, when he came to the Lord and he received the Holy Spirit, the Lord was able to utilize all of that information that he had in the Old Testament. He knew all the Bible, the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit, when he was praying in tongues for hours and hours and hours and hours, the Holy Spirit would say, you know that part in Numbers that nobody ever goes to? Do you know that that lines up with this part in one of the other books? I can't bring forth something, Paul was the one that brought the concept of the two Adams. I mean, nobody thought about that, but Paul was able to line it up through Scripture and understand that that Adam lost and Jesus won back. That Adam was the first son, Jesus was the next son. And we are his seed. We are from him. We have the same DNA as Jesus. And we've been brought back into the Garden of Eden. And he brought this revelation out because he knew the Old Testament. Peter had the same Holy Spirit. He had different revelations pertaining to the things of God. That's one thing about praying in tongues. You get revelation. It seems to be that you'll learn something. You'll understand something about the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will start loading revelation on top of that platform. And it'll expand it so far. You'll go, wow. Just from one little thing. You know, here's an interesting thing. You start praying in tongues, and you'll start getting a revelation about all of the scriptures that you've read. And the Holy Spirit will say, you know that scripture you read in Ephesians? Do you know that matches up with this scripture over here in Jude? Do you know that this part that you read in the book of Matthew, do you know that it lines up with this part here over in Galatians? And do you know that that part also lines up with this part over here in First Thessalonians? And do you know that this part here, do you know that that's talking about this and not about that? Because your pastor told you that this was wrong, that was wrong, this is right. And you'll start getting revelation, you'll start inoculating yourself against false doctrine. And things will start to expand, and you'll go, whoa. You'll start getting revelation. You're jumping around you're jumping around in circles saying, wow. And as if nobody's ever understood this, and you're the first person in the history of the human race to understand it. Fortunately, everybody else all over the world who's praying in tongues and seeking the Lord, getting their own revelation. And we're all coming together in the body of Christ with this. The Bible says when you come together, one has a psalm, one has a revelation. We all have these little bits the Holy Spirit reveals unto us, and we bring them to the table of fellowship with each other, and we edify each other in the language we speak, which is English, because we spoke in the language of the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues, because you spent time with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will reveal Jesus to you through the revelation knowledge that you start praying. You start praying extended lengths of time in the Holy Spirit, and you won't be able to help from getting revelation from God. Jesus will start showing up in massive bucket loads. You know, I started praying in tongues. I've always prayed in tongues for about 45 minutes every day, half an hour to 45 minutes every day, for years and years and years and years and years and years. Every now and then I'd burst into a big lot of praying in tongues for hours and hours and hours. But it always kept me instead, always kept me fine-tuned. And then one day I woke up and I said, you know, the Lord's coming back, and I really, really want to make full proof of my ministry. I want to go hard at it with the Lord. So I made a conscious decision, to press as hard as I could towards the mark of the high calling. So I started praying 3, 4, 5 hours a day in tongues. And after a very, very short while, the Lord turned up. and he's never left. I'm talking about the presence of God. I've got him over me all the time. I feel when I'm laying in bed, I turn the lights out, I'm laying in bed, I can feel the physical presence of God all over me. Even my little toes are buzzing from the presence of God. That alone caused me to continue to pray in tongues. And I generally pray for about 3 hours a day. It doesn't make me any better than any other Christian. I just want to walk in the fullness of God. I want to apprehend that which has apprehended me. I want to apprehend that which has apprehended me. Paul even said that. He said that I might even burst into this new body, just like Enoch did. He was translated, just as Jesus did when he was dead, and the Holy Spirit came and raised him up and quickened his body. Now, I don't know anybody in the history of the fellowship of the church that has been translated yet. We had Elijah in the Old Testament, and I haven't found anybody in the New Testament except for Jesus Christ. But we're all pressing towards the mark of the high calling, and we're all pressing hard. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. A lot of people will walk their walk in the good. Some will press a little bit harder to the acceptable. But I am trying to walk in the perfect will of God. And the way to do that is to be plugged into the Spirit and to have, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, so that as soon as I open my eyes up, I'm in conference with the Lord. And that happens. I wake up 4:30 in the morning, and before I realize I'm awake, I'm in revelation mode. And as soon as I go to bed, I'm laying in bed, and before I go to sleep, I'm in revelation mode. And the Lord's talking to me, and it's quite funny, but my wife's used to it. Donna will see me standing at the kitchen, looking out the window for 45 minutes. I'm in revelation mode with God. I'm in conference with God. He's talking to me and he's explaining things to me. And he's revealing revelations about scriptures to me. And sometimes I'll just sit at the kitchen table on the chair and just stare into space for 3 hours. And Donna knows where I am. And I just look into space, and I'm fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. I'm somewhere else. It's called dropping into the Spirit. And so you can't do that when you're up preaching. You have to maintain some sort of consciousness. But anyway, I don't want to get onto that. I don't know how I ended up getting into that. But what I want to talk about is this revelation that Paul got, that he wrote so many letters that Peter couldn't understand. He understood them, but not a lot of them. He scratched his head. But I want to go through just a quick few scriptures. It says in Romans, renewing your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it's the renewing of your mind. You know, the way that you renew your mind is by reading the Word of God and believing it. The way you renew your mind is by praying and getting revelation of the truth. That's renewing your mind. And in Ephesians 1:8, it says, the eyes of your understanding, what you see inside, what you think about, what you ponder on, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. You know, and in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, the mysteries hidden from ages, they'll be revealed unto you if you meditate on the Lord. See, when you start praying in tongues, you pray in tongues, and then you start meditating on the Lord, and he starts talking to you and revealing things to you. Not always while you're praying in tongues. What I do is, I sit down and I pray for 3 hours at a time, and I've got an iPod and I've got the Bible on the iPod, and I listen to Ephesians and I listen to it 3, 4, 5 times in 3 hours. Or I'll pray for 8 hours and I'll listen to Matthew, Mark and Luke. I can get Matthew, Mark and Luke in, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke in 8 hours. And then the next day I'll pray for 8 hours and have and just listen to John for maybe 4 times. And I'll do that day after day after day after day after day for weeks and assimilate the books. And, you know, you just... And then you start and read as well, and you assimilate the books, and you'll start getting massive revelation from things. God will start saying, you know, that stuff you read in Ephesians, that matches up with this in Galatians, and you know this matches up with that, and you'll just start. It'll just go choing, 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 and you'll just be amazed, and be able to use them in your walk. Anyway, and in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9, it says it says about the people and a pure language. Okay, and, you know, it's talking about this speaking in tongues. It says in Jude 3, it says, when I spoke to you, I wrote to you about the common salvation. We all have the same spirit. We all have been baptized into water. We all have access to the mysteries of God because he's our Father. He wants to reveal all of the kingdom of God as much as you can take through the revelation of his Son, through the Holy Spirit. You know, when you receive revelation from God, he dumps it down into your spirit, and it takes weeks for you to sort through it, and you can only see it a little bit at a time. You chew over it, and then you get a little bit more, a little bit more. It's too hard to receive the revelation and just instantly know it all at one hit. It's too hard for your poor little soul, because your soul can't cope with it. So he'll dump revelation down on you about a certain aspect of the kingdom of God. It might be about faith. It might be about dominion. It might be about the enemy and how the enemy operates. I remember seeking the Lord about the laying on of hands, and he started telling me all of this stuff about the transfer of power and authority, and how when you lay your hands on somebody that you're not to operate in the realm of witchcraft by holding their hand and reading their spirit. Because when you talk to somebody in English, you talk to them and they talk back to you. But when you hold somebody's hand and look with the spirit into their spirit, you're using witchcraft. That's the way it works. You see these people, these tarot card readers, they hold their hands and they transfer knowledge back and forth. So if you go up to a saint and you say, and they're sick and they're saying, I don't know what's wrong with me, and you say here, and you start holding the hand, you close your eyes and start reading, start looking in their spirit, you're operating at a lower level that you're supposed to operate. You're operating through witchcraft. That might sound really hard to you, but the way that you do it is through revelation. You stand there and they say, I'm sick, I've got something this and that. And then you just say, okay, and you put your hand on them and you start praying over them, and you start speaking the things that the Holy Spirit has already put in your heart. He's given you the information to pray over them, and it comes out in real time as you're praying over them. But to hold their hand and to read their spirit is operating in witchcraft, and the enemy can come across to you using familiar spirits. It's giving you information, and you'll find that Jesus never did that. He never put his hand on them and looked for information. He prayed over them, then he put his hand on them. We operate in a higher level than demons. Demons they piggyback on the facilities of God. God created soul ties. He said to man, right, you shall leave your family and be connected to your wife, your new wife, and should be one soul. He wants us to be soul tied to him and only him. And when we allow soul ties outside of his realm, and we allow, we have soul ties in situations where we've got people who we are connected through soul ties, then the enemy can come through from that. If you've got an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend and you start pining over them, you've got a soul tie with them, and the enemy's using that to come back and forth and to cause you trouble. When you start holding people's hands and you read their spirit, you're using witchcraft. You're using the same thing as people use in tarot cards and reading palms. We get our revelation from the Holy Ghost, not from holding them. Okay? When we pray, we are using our authority, and the power is going through us into them. And they're receiving of us, of our spirit, of our anointing, of the power, the Holy Spirit that's in us. We're not receiving of them. Because if we receive from them, right, so that we can receive back, we may get the enemy feed us false information. That's called familiar spirits. You see them in the Bible, okay, in the Old Testament. Okay, we might leave it there.
So if you'd like to help Donna and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.